Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. There we are. All right. Okay, welcome to Ever Beyond once again. I'll just jack up the microphone a little bit. It's looking a little quiet on the receiver there. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ever Beyond. No, it's still a bit quiet. All right. That's looking a bit better. I might have to do some adjustments later. Welcome once again to Ever Beyond. I just did the intro rap again, describing that I was probably about to make some mistakes during the show because I've just moved the studio. I haven't got a brilliant amount of light on the whole thing, and so something's in the dark, and I've got one mouse to the left, one mouse to the right, two mice side by side with each other. So I was just saying that I'm bound to get one of them mixed up and clicked the wrong button, and in fact I started out straight away by having my mic muted, so there you go. I have some very, very human fallacious traits, so that's good. Looks like we're recording, and looks like we've got some listeners, and looks like I'm actually talking, so I'll now face the mic. Hello everybody. It's wonderful to have you all here. I have the Wolf Spirit Radio phone connected now, and thank you very much, Dave. Thanks very much, Dave, for all of what you do. Running Wolf Spirit Radio. I've just moved house, and I'm broadcasting right now from my new studio, which is a room which is big enough to get a few people in, as we did the other night at my housewarming party, and that was I think we got about 7 or 8 musicians and a few people sitting around and dancing around to these musicians, so it's a big enough room, and I've got a camera, and I've got all the web broadcasting system sorted out, so maybe I'll get a couple more cameras to get some good angles, and we may try doing some live webcasts, maybe music, maybe talking. Certainly with my show, I think on Tuesday night, I'll be talking with Dave Patrick from the local area, who's an author and book editor, and he'll be talking about his experience with the Cathars. So, now, there is something up with this microphone, so I'm just going to have to fiddle about with it a little bit. But what I do, what I would like to say is, tonight my guest is due to be coming on right about now. But there may be the time zone issues. Oh, I said 2 o'clock. So there we go. So until that time, I have right. Okay. So there's a couple of people who are. Part of the same group that I met with Kat, and no, I can't see a contact request yet. Let's see, what's his name? Right, okay. I see, you've sent it to the Wolf Spirit Switchboard. Well, just call in to the Wolf Spirit Switchboard, call again. So he's trying to get into the switchboard. If you are in the States, then you can call 1-775-657-5973. That's 1-775-657-5973. Actually, I've got that written down somewhere. I've got already a jingle made for that years ago. So anyway, so we've got one of those, and hopefully very soon I'll get a call from somebody in the group. So this is... Right, they're all online. Some people's going to go online. We were going to have a meditation as well, so who knows what's going to happen in the next 2 hours. This is going to be a quite an interesting show. It was the global... a global healing group who have been, come into contact with me, and they were going to try and link up today. So I really hope that people are going to get in there with me. Otherwise, I'm going to have to let's put that jingle. Do call in, Tracy, if you've got a moment. You might want to come in and link up with me, and we can do a bit of the latest space news. Oh, right. Okay, Tracy's not arresting. Okay, so that was good. So we had a lovely party the other day at my new house, and lots of people came on 2 days, and made lots of music, and there was much dancing and jollity. And what's this? Okay. So at the moment I'm clicking around Facebook trying to find someone. So I'm just going to put a quick track on, just to get some things in order. This is some more Sons of Arca. He Did Not Die with John Cooper Clarke.
He did not die, and yet nothing of life remains. He shall emerge exhausted from the terrible rigors of insomnia, out of the daylight, into the night, a city of corruption, whose opulent squalor holds within its ruins the sickening stench of its stagnant eons, whose agents of disease are as sacred as they are profane. Livid veins of fungoid rot devour the foundations. In this insubstantial empire of dust, where science will not suffice, sooner or later he shall end by coming to his knees before the darkness, the death, and the distance.
This is Ever Beyond with JP.
Okay, yes, this is Ever Beyond, and this is indeed JP. I've had a very interesting and incredibly busy week. At the beginning of the week, from Monday to Wednesday, it was all Andromedan. I spoke to the three major Andromedan representatives that we have on the, you know, in the truth movement. Subsequently, one, two, and three, two of them were public. Another one was a private conversation. But it was a very interesting that they should all contact me one after the other, so that was quite interesting. And then the comments from YouTube were quite interesting. There was one guy said, I wish I could mute the host. That was quite funny. As I said, I've been preparing for this housewarming party and I've just managed to finish tidying up. But I'm here and it's really, really warm in this room. It's such a joy. I've got the great big wood burning stove and it's burning up a piece of pallet at the moment. It's wonderful. You can throw any bits of wood at it and it will burn it and make it really lovely and cozy and toasty in the room. So it's almost at freezing point outside. So I'm doing all right. Things have really started to turn up a lot better. And I hope that for you, everybody who's listening, everybody's listening in the future, things have started to change. You know, a lot of people are saying, oh, yes, December the 21st, 2012, all that came and went, didn't it? Ha, 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 ha. You and your conspiracy theories and your end of the worlds and all of that. Well, you know, actually, I think things really have changed. Certainly, in my life, things have gotten a bit more relaxed. I've gotten a bit more relaxed. I'm less uptight about things. I'm less caring about the things of the world, and it's much more important to talk with people and make sure people are all right around you, and that everybody's kind of up to speed. People do need to be aware of what's going on, that there is a new paradigm, there is a new change, and that we have a great opportunity right now to rewrite, to reprogram our world, our society. Now, a lot of people are focusing on the New World Order. A lot of people are focusing on Agenda 21. Ah, there we go. Here's the callers. Right, answer. There we go. Hello, hello. What's happened, Dave? I thought this was supposed to come right through.
Yes, seemed to be a slight difficulty in getting everything set up, but luckily it seems to be working now.
Ah, excellent. So, this is Robert from... you're living in London, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And whereabouts are you from in the first place? Because that's not a London accent. I know my London accent.
Yeah, you got me right here. No, I'm not originally from London, but I'm from Czech Republic.
Czech Republic. Ah, welcome, welcome, welcome. So what's the town that you're from? Whereabouts in the Czech Republic are you from?
Fairly close to Prague. I don't know if you've heard of Mladá Boleslav, but it's perhaps a known... fairly well for its make of Škoda, the car.
Ah, the home of the Škoda. Excellent, excellent. So, here we are. All right. Thank you very much, Dave, for connecting us. Dave is the owner and coordinator of the station Wolf Spirit Radio. That's why he's got a wolf symbol on his thing. He's Warrior Wolf in the chat room. We've been connected today using because of an intervention. But anyway, let's see how we're doing. I was connected in with this Facebook group. I can't remember the name. It's some kind of Would you like to tell me about what this project is? It's a project that I've been kind of included in. Lots of people all over the world, seemingly randomly connected, but there's never a randomness about this. So would you like to just kind of outline it, Robert, and we'll see where we go from here?
Certainly. You are talking about Globally, which is the name of the group. And
sorry, could you say that again?
You are talking about the Global Healing Force, which is the name of the group you were searching for.
That's it, Global Healing Force, yes. Thank you.
And funny you should mention it, because actually this is the topic of my latest book. I'm still finishing, doing some final touches now.
It's actually about connecting the right people for the right job. And here we have some excellent professionals, just like yourself and many, many others from different fields who came together to help and to share their love and to improve lives of others. I mean, what can be better?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of movement that's going on. A lot of it is spontaneous. People joining up for no apparent reason, which is, I really quite like that. That there's no apparent reason. And often the reason, you only ever find out the reason like about 2 or 3 years down the line and realize that maybe you all went to the same catalytic movie at the same time, or that you all heard a record, that there was some catalyzing force, catalyzing agent that brought you in. It's funny because we're talking about force, and we've been talking about the different uses of force in the chat room before the show. And one of the idea of force is, you know, to force someone to do something, you know, force against one's will. But obviously you're using the term force in terms of the force, as in the Star Wars definition of the intelligent background holographic consciousness mind that is behind the entire universe and is, you know, otherwise known as God or as Chi or as Vril or all of these things. You know, it's very interesting that our language has these opposite meanings, completely opposite. One of them is an energy and one of them is an intent. And I suppose it depends on what level of reality you're talking. But tell us a little bit about how you see the force.
Well, absolutely. I agree completely with you on this. And it's really about how you use it. In this case, force is meant to empower you and everybody else who is lucky to touch it.
And so there's are there events planned? Tell us, because I mean, really, I've been watching your chatter kind of go by on the little chat room that we have on Facebook, and joining in occasionally and publicizing my shows, and because I think, you know, you guys are going to be interested in it. I thought, right, okay. And I spoke to Kat the other day, and she said she'd speak to me, and obviously there's something going on her end, and that she's being tied up by that. So let's hope that she's okay and that she'll join us later. But are there events planned? What are there others who can come in and talk about their side? I'd like you, Robert, to really talk about yourself in terms of how you express in this way, how your own soul expression is coming out into this group.
Well, thank you. As I mentioned, there is plenty of different people who came together, and we are here to help as we can. Each of us is different, and I'm sorry to hear about Kat, actually, because it seems many of us are experiencing a lot of difficulties lately, more than usual anyway. But for me, I believe in the power of knowledge. It depends how much you know, but of course, what truly matters is how you use it. And that's why I started a special series of books at www.soulshackles.com. Currently, I have 6 books out. There is a 7th at work and several others as well. And here I teach the very simple force, once again, that rules our lives to our chakras. We can certainly say that everything's predetermined, or everything is somebody else's fault, and that's how many people would like to see it. But in fact, we come together with a purpose. I've heard many of people talking about law of attraction, for example. And law of attraction is certainly a worthy topic, I would say. But what I do miss, and what I'm actually talking about, is how does it affect me? How can I benefit from it? And how does it affect very specific areas of my life? From the very first book which introduces chakras to others, such as a book on depression, where I use my NLP knowledge, neuro-linguistic programming, is known to improve your mood. I use this knowledge to actually help people who suffer with depressive thoughts and depression to see depression completely differently as a useful tool to one's enlightenment. And so far, the response to it was great. In fact, that's how I joined this Global Healing Force group, to sharing my books, and people love it. And here I am.
So that's great. So 7 books. Let's. Where are they available from? It was Soul something. Can you spell it out?
Yes, they're available on Amazon, and you can see all of them also on www.soulshackles.com, which is my website I created for this series.
So Soul Shackles, as in S-H-A-C-K-L-E-S, as in, you know, shackles around your arms and legs.
Yes, in this case, around your soul, unfortunately.
Okay, well, let's explore that a bit, because it sounds like it's linking in with a situation that was being described by one of my guests, Tony Kral, a few weeks ago. Are you talking basically in your book about agreements out of incarnation agreements or something, or what? What's the book about?
No, not at all. Not at all. I prefer to skip incarnation and these forces, and focus instead of on the forces that are affecting you right now, at this very moment, and those are the forces you can actually do something about. It's amazing how much power we actually have. As I mentioned, the latest talks about power of the art of connecting, and power of your social circle, about how very different, but also very people with the same dream come together to share it and to grow it. I already spoke about law of attraction, and what I actually realized, and what I'm actually talking about in this book, is that while it's often pictured as depiction of magnetism, and you are told to magnet yourself to bring something in your life, it actually works a lot more like a gravity instead of magnetism. So the more people with the same dream are bringing together the manifestation a lot faster, and obviously as we help each other here through the group, through supporting our dreams, we reach toward the stars. It's just so amazing concept that seems to be lost in the way I've seen it pictured so far.
Oh, now you're talking gravity and magnetism. So how do you define the action of gravity as opposed to the action of magnetism?
Well, gravity brings together same to same, just as our Earth was created from the speck of dust, and other dust followed to form eventually something so magnificent as the planet Earth surely is. I'm sure you agree on that. It's just amazing. But at the same time, if you look at it, while it does form within a certain a density of matter, so you can see the core is composed of a lot heavier materials, you know, for example, the atmosphere, where it's really light air. At the same time, we find heavy materials, heavy matter in our bodies as well. It's all mixed up, so it doesn't really seem like gravity is the only moving force either. And here is where comes magnetism in, with quite a bit of spin, because that's actually what's mixing the creation to bring in the opposites together.
So, that's interesting. So, when you're right, okay. So you're talking about the law of attraction and how it. So your book is more about how it works, or how to make it work better. And you know, I want to talk about NLP in a little while as well. So I find that very interesting. By the way, you're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. This is Ever Beyond. On everbeyond.info, www.everbeyond.info, and we're broadcast on wolfspiritradio.com, and you'll be able to get into the chat room, which is a very fine chat room based on the IRC system. So we're available, and it's a we have no commercials except for this kind, which is please click the donation button on the Wolf Spirit Radio website. To help finance this project and keep it going and make it really work for everybody. We've been running for about 18 months now. No, maybe more than that. Quite a goodly amount of time, and we've been running for free. We don't put commercials on. The readings that we do, people who work at the station also have their own consultancy kind of things, and that's how we make our money. So please, you know, that's how we pay the rent to have a roof over our head. I mean, it's really that. None of us have what you might call a proper job, and we do this for this crazy reason. Anyway, meanwhile. Back at the Law of Attraction. I'm speaking with Robert. Hang on.
It's called Yirda, spelled with J. J-I-R-D-A.
Yirda. Thank you very much, Robert, because I was going to say Robert Jirda, and that would have been wrong.
So, I hear that all the time, yeah. And it's perfectly fine as long as we know who we're talking about.
That's
it's,
right.
It's certainly
so,
nothing to be worried.
So,
yes. I'm sorry. Yes, I've heard your plug, and I'm certainly amazed how much effort went into this, and it's amazing project you have here. It's really something to support, and I'm looking forward to more donation for you. And yes, that's how it works. The attraction is just something to bring us together. You're asking about what exactly is the point of my books, if it's more about how it works and or how to use it. But I found it actually works together. You cannot use something unless you know how it works, at least not efficiently enough. And that's why I use NLP techniques to bring as simple text as simple explanation as I possibly can to these undoubtedly sometimes airy discussions.
So, can you say how your book looks at the use of the law? Are you talking about using the law of attraction in groups or as an individual? I mean, you said before that, you know, the more people that believe it, the more people that focus on it, the more effective it is. So it definitely seems to be more like a group work kind of issue, doesn't it?
It sure is, but there is a lot we can do by ourselves as well. And there is a lot of very important decisions for us as our own social circle, who we actually are friend with, who we actually connect with, and how. I mean, this is only the latest book, and there is six previous ones which talk more about the effect that chakras have on your life. But in general, you would say that it doesn't really matter, because whatever way you affect yourself, you affect everybody else as well. Just think about any time you were really angry and you came into a room and you wanted to smash something, and there, anybody just in your way would be that something, quite possibly. So it's really about putting things together in a proper perspective, and to use that knowledge and to help others to understand it.
And so you wrote about NLP. Now, a lot of people have heard about NLP, not in a particularly good light either, because like many tools, it can be used for healing, or it can be used for manipulation. This is one of the things that people are, you know, there's all these different techniques that are based on these ideas. How can it be used for healing, Robert?
Well, it's like with everything, just like you said, it really depends on your intent, and it can be used any way you want. If you have a stone, some people will throw it at you and another uses it to build a castle. In this case, I use NLP techniques to make the information as accessible as possible. I use NLP and brain development knowledge, which actually molds science of remembering and a lot of other stuff together, just to make the flow of the book so easy to grasp. It's actually a joy to read it, even with so difficult concepts as, for example, relationships or depression or let's say my second was about addiction, sex, violence, and abuse, how to understand it, where it comes from. So it's NLP itself. I don't write about NLP, at least not in a main way. I do have some inserts here and there where I talk about techniques where it supports the topic, but I don't write about it. I just use it to make it accessible to you and to my readers.
So that's very interesting that you're using NLP techniques to make the book flow. And could you give us an example of that? I mean, because you know everybody's got a book inside them, but you're using the ideas that NLP gave you. Could you condense some of those ideas into a useful tool that that our listeners can use when writing?
Certainly. In fact, I actually already have in my last released book, which is the previous one, The Art of Connecting Spiritually, The Battle Between Brain and Heart, where I talk about how exactly I write a book, how I use NLP to make it flow. But it's really about the way brain works. I talk a lot about the science of brain, and if you give me just a moment to open the book, here we are. Yes.
Robert is looking through the book.
Here we. Yes, I am. It's hard to remember all of it, obviously. But
of course, you know, that's absolutely fine. Go ahead.
Here we are with very basic ideas of how we actually connect our thoughts. If I start talking about something to you, let's say about Loch Ness, then you already have some previous knowledge that you are trying to apply to it and sort of put it together with. So if I start talking about Loch Ness, you probably have the knowledge of the lake, you have the knowledge of some stories that have been told or that were circling the internet, and so you already have something to imagine and you have something to build on. If I start talking about quantum physics and new materials that can be made through it, I mean, unless you have yourself already some previous knowledge of this topic, there is a lot smaller chance that you actually know the physical and quantum aspects of quarks and another subatomic particles. So you don't really have a place to put it, and you sort of phase out. So it really starts with something as simple as talking in the same frame with your subject. With plenty of my books, I start with something as simple as a quote from well-known source. I was talking about the saying that comes with marriage, something new, something borrowed, something blue, and something old. And that's how I made my very first book flow into chakras. It's something that doesn't really relate to it quite as much, but it gives you something to hold on to while I broaden the ideas and introduce you to the topic.
Ah, so basically you're using what we call nowadays a meme to bring you into a state of acceptance of what, you know, because I'm familiar, actually I'm a lot more familiar with Loch Ness than most people because I live about 30 miles from it. And to me, when you say Loch Ness, I imagine this broad, rather beautiful, but also rather gloomy loch that I've literally touched the waters of and looked into the murkiness of. Sadly, there's no monster there. There may be a big slug, they say. But anyway, so going back to what you were saying, is you take a commonly used meme, like you say, the wedding thing, or something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue, and then using that to familiarize the subject enough to accept the next part. So you would then start deconstructing it, so something old, the ancient teachings, something new,
yes,
new thing, something borrowed. You know, you need to bring all the different aspects of every different teaching in, and then bring in the new, and then you start with the blue chakra. Yeah, I see your point. That's an interesting way of looking at it. So you got a book about the chakras, and presumably the etheric body and the major chakras and things like that.
Not quite. It's the actually very first book I started with, because that's where it flows from. But it's mainly each of my books introduce one major subject. I would say one different way of looking at the well-known subject, just as I mentioned, but with Law of Attraction earlier, where I introduce a little different perspective. In the very first book about chakras, I'm talking about, once again, little different perspective that many people are familiar with, and that is that chakras are connected. Lots of books you see on the subject are very keen to introduce you to the first chakra, to second chakra, but they take it one step at a time and one chakra at a time, where in fact it is not quite the way it works. You know, it's more like a domino. If there is something wrong with first chakra, there is something wrong with everything else, because it's all connected. If you, like I say in my last book, if you drop a dead horse into the well, it doesn't matter where it lands. All the water's eventually unfit to drink.
Yeah, I see what you mean. That's very interesting. You talk about chakras being connected, because, again, the subject that I talk on my show, you may not be familiar with it yet, but you probably will be, is the science of the seven rays, the very ancient science. So again, there's something old, something very, very old. It's the science of the seven rays, and using the connections of the seven rays, you connect to all the chakras, and sevens of everything. So that every seven is connected to every seven over everything else. You know, 7 days in the week, seven notes in the musical scale, seven colors in the rainbow. And they all connect with the seven rays, as do the chakras. I completely agree that the chakras are connected in a very specific and non-linear way. I come back to there's this thing that is going on. There is a meme that has three concentric rings in it, with the seven ray teachings, the rings connect. Is the heart and the solar plexus connect? That's the inside ring, and then there's a ring outside, which is the sacral center and the throat center, and then there's another ring, which is the base center and the crown center. So those are three concentric rings, and that's the same as the three rings in contact, the three rings in the Searle magnetic Searle gravitic generator. It seems in lots of other philosophies. So, we're on common ground here, Robert. So,
yes, I actually looked into it, and I'm very much with you. It's amazing, you know. That's probably where the magic numbers as 777 or 333 comes from. It just does fit, and it's amazing the work you do with that. So I'm really there with you.
Fantastic. You see, you know, we can talk about many other things. I was sitting on an underground railway in London, you know, the tube, one day. Sorry, I forgot you live in London, but our audience doesn't have. But it's a subway. We have a subway system in London, which is called the tube, and people don't talk on the tube. But one day I was sitting opposite this cleric, you know, and he had this. He was a big, tall man, and he had the dog collar and the black shirt and everything. And he had this very unusual cross. He had a great big silver, I think it was silver cross, that had a line through it at the bottom, a sort of oblique line through it. And I was fascinated by this, and I actually went up and, you know, said hello, and he said hello, and it was very friendly. But normally on a tube, you don't even look at other people. But you know, there wasn't so many people on the train, so we were talking. He was talking about this cross, which is the patriarchal cross, and all that other stuff about it. And somehow we got onto numbers, and this is the thing that I remember most. Is that he kind of leaned forward to me in this kind of the way that a big priest would. Numbers rule everything, don't they? And he said this, and it's like, that's really stuck on my mind. And this is even years before I started learning about the seven rays. So the seven rays, you know, there's this one and three. Three and one kind of thing, and it just makes sense because it's to do with the way music works, and you have the fundamental note, and then you have the octave of that note, and then you have the first harmonic of that note, that is all this like lovely geometric relationships, like the relationship between numbers based on two and numbers based on three, the way that that connects together and creates this music that we call 4-3-2. Is all connected with the harmonics of two and three working together, so tell me about the one and the two and the three. What have you found about those numbers? Because they're the fundamentals, aren't they? That's the universe is based on one, two, three.
Yes, they are, but. What you should understand is the numbers are the way we express the frequency, and it's really about how our frequencies interact with one another. For example, as we speak, not only our chakras and our outer bodies through our aura, but whole frequency you have and I have, the whole being, it just resonates. It's like a music, and when two instruments in a concert just fit together to create something more magnificent, or when somebody just moves a little bit out of sync and it all falls apart. That's really how it works. Three and seven are certainly powerful numbers. I talk about seven chakras here, and I know there is more of them, but it's a good starting point for many beginners, and it explains most of what needs to be explained, and it creates curiosity for the reader, so he can actually try himself and not just to rely on my word. I mean, I certainly don't plan to elevate myself to be a guru, know everything. It just isn't possible, and each individual is just that what it is. He's individual. So for each and every person, it will mean something else. For example, in my money and abundance creation, I talk about how we manifest with seven chakras, how the manifestation goes from the seventh chakra, where we connect to the divine and to the source, all the way down to each and every chakra, to the first chakra, where it actually ends in a material world. So seven is certainly a concept that goes very far to my work. I always talk about seven chakras, and I don't talk that much about concept of three. In fact, if anything, I talk about the concept of two, which is duality. I know there is a little bit of controversy about duality these days, where you hear that duality is the thing of a past, and it will come to cease, and we will see everything as it truly is. But the simple fact is there are men and women, so there is two sides of the coin. There is many things you just cannot take duality from. I'm afraid.
So there's the two, and yes, it's very important that the relationship. God, am I learning about this stuff at the moment? It's very important to deal with duality in everyday life. But I often find that it's not that the solution is not always found in the in the trying to dominate the other, one winning and one losing, because that's the natural scheme of things, you know, or that's the way things
have been
programmed into us. But it's about then coming to a new perspective, because I always say there's always an alternative. There's always a third alternative, which I know is one of those oxymorons, because you can only have alternatives between two. But you know, there is alternative three, and alternative three is the creative thing that's never been invented, that nobody knows about yet, that adds to our domain of knowledge, that adds to our collective wisdom. And every time somebody makes a new choice between what used to be just a choice between two things, adds to the human potential,
because it actually has using the law of attraction, respectively the second part of law of the attraction, which I talk about in my latest book. It is amazing how you have the great grasp on this matter. You're right, there is always the third alternative, and when I talk about duality, it's not really that me or somebody else. That's not what I meant at all. It's really more of the conceptual idea where, once again, law of attraction is portrayed as magnetism, where in fact it is a gravity and magnetism and twinned together into one great law. Why gravity and magnetism? It's perhaps you're familiar with the teaching of Emerald Tablet, or maybe you've heard of Emerald Tablet anyways. It's the tablet which says the ultimate knowledge, as above, so below. As above, below means that macrocosm and the microcosm just seem to mirror itself. Whatever happens on a physical material plane seems to be happening on a higher spiritual planes in the same way. So we can deduct a lot of spiritual truths simply from watching the world around us, and there is no more to it. I'm sidetracking here a little bit, but what I'm trying to say is that duality is how law of attraction works in this case to actually bring things together, things that has never been together and that actually create something new. Just like you said, and that's actually most likely the very purpose of the universe to create.
Yeah, so it's combining. I love talking about the process of numbers because the seven ray teachings talk a lot about it. They like you say, what you were talking about before, these seven phases. They call it the process of manifestation. As it goes through each of the layers, it's like going down octaves, and each time it goes down an octave, it goes down to the next ray, and it's a kind of spiral movement down through the planes to finally get down to the physical plane, the place of manifestation. So yeah, you're definitely talking about these things that that are within that framework. Go ahead. You know, everything starts with an idea, and it goes down. So the thing is that what I call the first ray, that it acts in the crown center, rather than what your naming of them
right.
is
first.
The first chakra is the base center. So that's why I don't use those numbers for the. So, but if I say base center, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, yeah. Of course. And you're right. When you talk about creation, it just goes from the top to bottom, while for some reason we have chakras numbered from the bottom to top. So it's actually interesting how and why this happened.
So, how did it happen?
I walked right into it, didn't I?
Yes,
it did. Well,
anyway, actually, can you hold that thought? Because we're at the top of the hour, and we normally take a break and say things like, "You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio," and we are a listener and donated, supported radio station. We have no commercials. We play nice music that is non-triggering at 432 hertz, as much as we can anyway. There is a donate button on the windowsill. No, on the website, which is wolfspiritradio.com. And if you go to the wolfspiritradio.com chat room, which is on /wolfchat, you'll be able to speak and chat with some of the other lone wolves who are here in this chat room deep in the heart of the Highlands in Scotland. So I've just got a message from my guest, and she's not in a good way, so we'll be sending some healing after the next hour. We're going to be running the Frank Jordan Earth Mind Healing group. So also, Robert, if you know anybody who needs healing, just let me know, and I'll put their names into it, and we'll be doing some healings in the next couple of hours. My favorite band. They're also good friends of mine. I love the stuff that he's doing. This is Sons of Arca. This song is called No Danger Here. with the voice of Angel One.
This is Ever Beyond with JP.
And welcome back to Ever Beyond with JP. And tonight, Ever Beyond is with JP and with Robert Yerda, who lives in London, is from the Czechoslovakian Republic, and long may the Republic stand. And we're discussing Robert's work with his books and NLP and all sorts of interesting stuff. So now we had a thought to hold.
Certainly we did. Do you know which one? We were talking about duality, if I remember correctly, and why exactly the chakras are numbered from bottom to top, while your rays are numbered from top to bottom.
That's right.
And while I cannot say something for certain, my first idea would be simply because of the frequencies of the purpose of that system has. As much as you told me about rays, they are meant to create. So it only makes sense that they start at the creation point, which is on the top. While when we talk about the chakras, we're talking about frequencies and energies which are ruling our lives. And so it does make a certain amount of sense to start from the most dense one, from bottom up, just like when you're building the building.
That's right. So, and well, the word my guides use is accretion. I love that word. You build from the ground, and then you accrete one layer and then another layer. You can only build layer by layer, unless of course you build.
Yes, sir.
That's how you build things. So, and that also works in events as well. That certain events represent an accretion, going from one stage to the next, and learning happens like that as well. Like you were saying, you can't just take on concepts of definitions of words like the quantum physics or quantum behavior and all those other things unless you understand what they're talking about, and until you can get a picture of it, you can't understand it. And NLP is using the memes that we understand already that help us to picture something and to get an understanding of it, or to distort it.
Yes, absolutely.
Or to distort that understanding, in the same way that, the word illegal alien has such a strong emotional impact when you're in America, because that's been part of the programming that's been on the TV. Because here, an illegal alien would be like a grey or something like that. We don't have the same emotional charge. We don't have the same picture to that phrase. So it's always interesting to see how a universal picture can be created.
Yes, for some it could be simply a foreigner which is not legally in a country, and for some it could be alien out of the outer space. And unless you actually have the common frame to say which is which, how can you tell what you're talking about? Just like with the story we talked about earlier about building from the ground to top, there is a very interesting story, I don't know if you're familiar with, I think it originates in Germany, about silly people village. It was a village where the most ridiculous and most stupid people lived. And when they decided to build their courthouse, they thought, what could be more important than the roof? So they started building the roof. And when they built the roof, they found they still need to build the walls. Of course, clever as they were, they used four village strong men to hold the roof, while others were fast, trying fast, really fast, because it was obviously quite heavy, to build the rest of the building. Not all of those strong men were quite equally strong, so what they ended up with was a caricature at best. That's really how the life works. You just need to know where to start, where you're heading, and have a plan.
So, where you start, where you're heading, and have a plan. It doesn't. Do you? I mean, when you say you have a plan, do you always have to be conscious of that whole plan as you start, or can you just say, "This is my goal. I'm going."
Not quite. Not at all. Once again, this is something I talk about when I describe the process of manifestation in my Money and Abundance Creation Manifesting with Chakras. How I actually write, how it's possible that since last September, which is by now, I think, 5 months, about 5 months, I created six books, nearly seven, and I just keep going. I had five books before Christmas, because that's what I wanted to achieve. It really is about knowing what you want to achieve and knowing why you want to achieve it. So I talk about starting with the cover of my future book. It sounds ridiculous. I mean, you have a cover, but you have nothing except for the concept of the book. When I start writing about something, I usually don't have a very clear idea how it's going to turn out. I certainly didn't know that I'm gonna be on air today, but it seems to be turning out decent, at least so far. Same it is with a book. You just start with something tangible you can touch, you can bring into your reality right now. For some people, would better work some sort of a music. It really is something that the NLP talks about, where some people are more affected by visuals, another prefer their sounds, and yet another group of people just cannot help but to feel their emotions. So that's another way how you can help to connect with others. In this case, I have a book, or rather I have a cover of the book. I have the idea what to write, but I have no idea whatsoever how to write it. And I just push forward because I know what it is going to be about, and I just feel so much excitement about the way it already looks. It already is in my hands, partially anyways. And so most of the books I wrote, I was able to write within a week or two. I mean, they are quite short books, to be honest. I try to keep the word count under 10,000 words per book, simply because it is about chunking the material into something that's easily digested by others. But it's still something, because each and every book introduces a different concept that is not quite so widely known, even though it should. And it just takes it from there. So no, you don't need a plan to the very detailed, okay, I know that tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up and I'm going to write this. I'm going to try to build this, that or that. It doesn't have to be that specific, but you just need to know what you're building, why you're building, and who you are building it for.
What was your target audience when you wrote that first book?
When I first wrote that book, it was about introducing the simple, very simple idea to beginners in spirituality as much as a bit more advanced people. I mean, it's called Chakra Owner's Manual, Advanced User Manual for the Spiritual Knowledge Seeker. Why advanced when the concept is actually fairly simple? Because it is something that not many others are talking about. Just like you said, chakras connect in a very specific way, and many people just see it very separate, which simply doesn't hold true.
Yeah, we're all connected. Everything's connected.
More than you know.
Yeah.
More than you know.
Yes.
It's just something so amazing when you wake up and you realize that everything that happens in your life is your responsibility, not your fault. Certainly not your fault, but it is your responsibility, and that you can change it if you choose to. It empowers you enormously. Just as you go through the series, it shows you step by step the concepts that lead toward the freedom, and that's I think that's the most amazing thing you can offer to anybody.
That's great. So would you like to give our listeners a kind of teaser with the first sort of step that of that? Well, actually, probably our listeners, maybe we've taken one or two steps already. We are quite a switched on collective, I'd like to say. You know, we've been gathering information and we exchange it, and it's, you know, sometimes I'm just mouthpiecing our collective's connections and information. So it's really about, you know, so that's your target. So what's the cover look like? What color is it? What images do you have on it?
That's actually a very interesting question. I know people here hate to hear that, but it is, because I use very specific colors here as well. And I use colors that are taken from the chakras, which I talk about. The first book, basically all of the series, has a main blue background, which is sort of emphasized by gold, except for the first, where I use images of the chakras, by the gold color of emotions, in which I show the main title, and it has one sort of a major point of focus image to show you what the book is about, in a way. On a first, it's actually 7 points, 7 chakras, and I use the light blue for connecting to the 5th chakra, which rules the knowledge and actually communication. So, but I realized that golden yellow is maybe a little bit more appropriate for connecting to our emotions and feelings. So that's where I'm coming from.
So that's very interesting.
But you can see.
Yeah. Show me.
You can
tell everybody
see.
How to find them, how to have a look at these covers.
You can see all of them at the website I already mentioned earlier at www.soulshackles.com. And you can, if you look there at the at books, then you can see whole stacks of them. It's actually quite beautiful.
Yeah, I'm just clicking on that now. Open new window. There we go. Soul Shackles. Spiritual books. There we go. Oh, that is pretty. So that's got the old Maladara and all that business. I can never. The only one I easily to remember is the Ajna Center, which is the brow center there. And there you've got the big thousand petal lotus. And some concentric circles. Yes, very good. The old concentric. So that's a very pretty thing. And that's linked in with. Excellent. Very, very good. So, understanding your chakras and improve your life today. And so this is about yourself, and is there a picture of you? Yeah, there it is. There we go. So if anybody would like to speak to us, you can call in. Let me see. I thought I had that jingle, but I can't find it in my list, so maybe I've moved it and it's fallen off the thing. Our telephone number is 1-775-657-5973. I'll say that slower. 1-775-657-5973. And of course, if you're out of America, you have to use Skype or something sensible. But anyway, or use my personal address or the wolfspirit.switchboard, and then you'll come into this group call that we're just on at the moment. And yes, we are live, and this is Wolf Spirit Radio. And today on Ever Beyond, I am speaking with Robert Yerda from London, and we're talking about his book series, which is called Soul Shackles, presumably casting off the shackles on your soul.
Indeed.
So, first of all, people have to know that they're being shackled, don't they?
Well, they don't necessarily need to know it, because I'm very certain they will feel it. And that's a lot more powerful than a knowledge.
Feelings are very important, are they not?
Indeed, they are. You may not know something, but almost always you have that feeling at the back of your mind that something isn't quite right, that something just doesn't fit. It doesn't always translate to knowledge, to understanding, but that's usually how it starts. That's intuition at work.
So we have our intuition. And then we have our feelings and our knowledge. And so presumably your book is describing how those different processes go on in different chakras. Is that right?
Yes. It describes different topics. As I mentioned, I'm talking about depression, and I'm talking about how exactly depression is linked to the chakras and the process of creation, and the fact that we have seven chakras, and how it actually flows from the top to bottom and bottom to top toward two different types of depression. We have what I call spiritual depression, when you just have everything you ever wanted but you don't know what to do with it. And then there is depression when you just don't seem to have enough money, time, whatever resources you feel. But those are very different types of depression. And I'm talking about, once again, a little different perspective here, and how this actually can be used to be very positive way to change your life around. In another books, it's in a similar way. You just, Jay, they are fairly short, and I believe the best way to introduce myself would be simply to read one.
Yeah. Are they available? How much do they cost? Are they e-books?
Yes, they're available on Amazon, Kindle. Each of them is at the moment priced as at $2.99.
Oh, so they're not expensive. And books.
No, not expensive at all. And I'm planning to release my latest book within a month for a 99 cents starting price, just to make it a little bit more available for people before they actually get to know it. So if anybody is interested and they go to www.socialclass.com and they subscribe to the list, I'll be certainly mailing my list when the latest release is up, and as I said, it'll be just 99 cents, to give you the idea.
Excellent. So I'm just looking at this, and this book is going to teach you how to learn to share your opinions with others, and using scientifically proven methods, following your brain learning patterns to recognition of spiritual repeating patterns, you will be guided to understand your relationships the way you would never suspect them to.
Uh-huh. Actually, I'm afraid that you are looking at one of the old ones that are already up. I don't think I have the latest release.
Oh, right.
Visible there. It's not been written yet. You know, I only just finished it today. Oh. In fact, and I sent it to my editor only a couple hours ago. So it still might take a while before I get it back from her and update it to make it bit more smooth. Obviously, as you can hear, I'm not native, and all my books are professionally edited to make it really smooth read.
Excellent. All right, so it's still moist. Excellent. And do you want to kind of give us a chapter overview of how the new one's going to be working?
Certainly. Let's take a look. Let's take a look. I already I already spoke about it in the first hour a little bit, but I can certainly give you a couple quotes. In here, I start with introduction, and I say the easiest way to bring your dream into reality is to convince others of its existence. And that's the very first sentence of my new book.
So let's break that down a little bit. The easiest way to convince others of your new...
easiest way to bring your dream to reality, mm-hmm, is to convince others of its existence.
Of its existence?
Yes.
Before you can materialize something, it needs to be created in such a way as that other people can see the same thing.
Yes, because when you actually talk about the process of creation, you need to connect to others to actually compound the power of manifestation. if you look at anything around you, there is a chance that it has been created by a team and usually many, many others. It might be book, it might be spoon that has been brought to you by delivery, but there is still a lot of work around it. And so you do need a certain amount of people around you to create something memorable. And while you do, you need them to understand you, don't you?
Of course.
That's how it starts. But what I'm actually talking here is not quite this. It is more of a... once again, it's a little tricky concept for somebody who would be a beginner. I suspect none of our listeners are, but let's just say that we might have gotten somebody who's not quite familiar with manifesting. And what I'm actually trying to say here is that you manifest through others, and others need to have very clear image of what you are manifesting, because they help you and they need to know how to help you. If for example, I am trying to reach as many people as possible to empower them, then I need to explain myself to you so you can ask the right questions, so you can actually share something meaningful with our listeners. If we don't connect on that very specific level, if we if we aren't even able to communicate powerfully enough to make others believe that it is possible, then I'm sorry, but many just give us a skip and they just go looking somewhere else.
So stage one is make it so that people can believe it.
Yes, make it believable, because who will support somebody whose dreams are just not realistic? Would you?
Exactly. They could be off on some trip. So, yeah. And so then you're making your dream real. This is essentially a dream that... that through your experience, you decided everything that you don't want and then take the opposite of that.
No, I'm afraid that's the very, very opposite of concept I am working with. Once you decide whatever you don't want, that seems to be very easy. We are very, very easy at saying what we don't want, but in fact, that is a very, very bad way to start manifesting, if you ask me. You have to decide on what you do want, because what you don't want is, in the end, irrelevant. You need to have the idea what you do want, what you go forward to, and that will eventually replace what you don't want simply by default. Because there just won't be any more space for it in your life. If you decide on what you don't want, on the other hand, you are driving into uncharted territory just because there is a fire on your heels, and you don't really care where to go. You just go anywhere where isn't here. But that's not really how it works.
No, you maybe misunderstood me. I said, and take the opposite of that. But I may not have been clear with you. But yeah, so I'm totally in agreement. You know, it's like, what I'm saying is, we learn through our experience what hurts us. And that's why, how we use experience to move away from the things that hurt us and towards the things that give us joy. So knowing what you don't want and then looking at what is the opposite effect of that, and that's what I do want. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes. But the key is to focus on what you do want instead of what you don't want.
Oh, yeah. There's no point in
whatever
point
you focus on grows.
Yeah. There's no point in complaining about something when you can do something about it. Yes.
Very well said. Let's just hope more people will take this stand, and I'm sure the world would look very different very fast.
Well, you know, this has been part of the current paradigm that I've been working with. This a lot of the guests on my show that have been on, you know, talking for quite a long time about this subject. Your part is very interesting. You're fleshing out. You know, you're giving people very easy to follow instructions on how to regain your personal sovereignty and to gain, you know, your own and it's personal power, and we don't want any more than personal power, just to be able to express that part of you that is the spark that comes from your creativity. Go ahead.
We don't need anything else than personal powers, to be honest. Why would you want power over anybody else? I mean, that just gives you a headache trying to figure out what's best for them, but who the hell knows?
Yeah, well, some people do think they do, and that's part of our problem. And you know, again, you know, having an overactive solar plexus, that's something that people do because it's worked, and that's how they're able to cope in the world. But that's got to come to an end, because it impinges on everybody else's sovereignty and free will. So yes. So by the way, I'm speaking with Robert Yerda, spelled J-I-R-D-A, who's speaking from London this evening. I'm speaking from Northern Scotland, on the granite of the Highlands, or sandstone, according to my girlfriend.
It's sandstone, it's not granite.
Okay, all right. But anyway, there's a lot of granite around here, and the house is made of the stuff, and it's all good. Tonight I'm speaking with Robert Yerda, and we're talking about his book series, which is about empowering your own life. And I hope I haven't clicked anything different. Right, okay. I've got two mice side by side, and I'm bound to click the wrong one at some point. In fact, when I started the show, it was all over the place. So we're talking about how you work with the process of manifestation, creating abundance in your life, creating perfect relationships in your life. Your first stuff is about the dark side, is addictions and abuse and depression and suicide and all of those things, which is a lot of people that have been listening to this. In fact, a lot of people who are on the spiritual path have come through that kind of dark place. Let's call it that way. Through those feelings of self-hatred and self-loathing and all of those things that we're training ourselves to move away from. So you're looking at the problem there at the beginning and then working towards the solution in the later.
Yes, absolutely. It's a lot more common than many people realize. They're certainly not alone. We have many, even very successful people who fall into this trap. And it's actually tied closely with the law of attraction and its opposite, which I personally call the law of distraction. And it really does help when you get the right perspective to it, because in the end, it's nothing more than a spiritual pain. You know, it's just like when you sit on a hot stove and you burn your ass. I hope I'm I think you can say arse on a radio.
Especially if you say arse, right? Because if you say arse, right, they don't hear it as, you know, the same thing. So and they find it funny. So thank you very much, our American audience, who don't mind us saying arse because it sounds funny. Anyway, so you sing on the stove and you spiritually burn yourself on the arse.
Then you just know that it's time to move. So there is absolutely nothing wrong with depression when you look at it from the right angle. In fact, many people have used their depression to get past it and to create something so magnificent nobody would ever thought possible. I mean, I have this friend writer who is actually blind, and yet she's able to write, and she wrote excellent book. In fact, I was able to see. But my point is, she suffered from a big depression, and she was feeling worthless, and she was even forced to take medication just to cope. On the other hand, she's a hugely creative person who, like I said, made a very positive impact to lives of those who have read her book or who have seen her blog. And it just doesn't really make sense how someone who seems himself to be so worthless could make such an impact. It's really about reframing. That's where the NLP once again comes in, and that's how I'm trying to explain my concepts to the wider audience.
That's good. That's good. All right. Yes, many questions. Many questions. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. This is Ever Beyond, and we're speaking with Robert Gierda, speaking from London. So we were talking about some of the ways that we can move away from the things that do shackle your soul, the addictions and the depression. And once we've moved beyond that, we can then start creating a better life. How do you convince somebody that that's going to be the healing of them? How long does it take? How instant can a process be?
Well, as I mentioned, the books are very short format, and their format is enforced by NLP. So I would say it takes about as long as it takes you to read it. Obviously, just by reading the book, nothing changes. You need to apply some actions, but those actions are actually fairly straightforward in most cases, and it all begins with one single step. Always it starts with one single step, and that one single step can be all it takes.
And go ahead. What would that... I mean, how does that single step is different in every person, isn't it?
Yes, I suppose it is. In many cases, it can be use of Reiki. I don't think I've mentioned I'm a Reiki master healer, and I have very big hopes for spiritual healing and Reiki in particular. But in fact, it doesn't have to be spiritual healing. Any form of alternative therapies are dealing with chakras. Even though many of them don't even mention it. So, yes, it can be as simple as a step as just paying couple dollars for a Reiki session, or it can be as simple as deciding, okay, that I'm gonna take this day off, and I'm gonna do something for myself. I'm gonna go to spa. I'm gonna go out and fishing, or whatever it is you desire, whatever it is that you feel that helps you the most. But in the end, it's really about the first step. You take the first step, and suddenly everything starts changing. Slow or fast, but it does start changing immediately.
And you see things. I mean, a lot of people might see something start manifesting. Actually, something starting to happen, but then something else happens, and it's often we get an attack of what we call the self sabotage. How do you advise people to deal with this inner rebel, this inner saboteur who's like a spy who's working for the powers that be?
Well, actually, this is part of creation, and I'm talking about it in my latest book, which isn't released yet. And I'm sure many people will find this very interesting when I say that it's a lot like a safety switch. When you manifest something, you manifest. It's extremely powerful, and it can change your life in a very profound way. So it only makes sense to have certain safety switch that keeps you in place, just in case that you suddenly start thinking about something so irrelevant, or that you just go to the horror movie or some drama, and you don't want to manifest those things in your life. Most people don't anyway. I don't. Do you? So it is actually a safety switch, and it should be treated as such. You just have to push forward, and if it doesn't work for the first time, try again. That's all it takes.
The old adage, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Brilliant. So we're coming to the end of the 2 hours. So let's let our audience know the name of your website is www.soulshackles.com, and your name is Robert Yerda, spelled J-I-R-D-A. You tell us a little bit about your history. Where did you learn all this stuff?
Where did I learn it? Well, I would say that I work with energy in various forms for well over 20 years by now. I started when I was 12 years old, and I started healing. I'm a fairly sensitive person, and I'm able to see auras. I'm able to see the energy, how it actually interacts. And I would say that most of my books are written on my personal experience with people, personal experience and seeing things that many people just don't seem to notice. It is really and truly a voice of experience, and maybe, hopefully, a voice of a higher soul talking here. But that's really up to you to decide.
So we have a question from the chat room. This is from Terry in Param, Nevada, where it's the afternoon for them, and it's warm and dry. Yeah. Anyway, do you think what manifests comes with restrictions, patience, and other challenges?
If you wanted to, I guess I should say a little bit more.
Yeah.
It does, as I mentioned earlier, the law of attraction is counterbalanced by law of distraction, and as its safety switch, it does come good with a bad price for the price, as they say. It just has to be that way to make sure that you're getting what you actually want and not something that randomly popped in your head while you were watching daily news. That would be rather unpleasant in many cases, unfortunately. So, yes, it may take some time, but as long as you manifest within your own personal frequency and you have a sufficient backing of your social circle, then speed in which you are delivered, it could be a matter of minutes. It could be even faster. It could be instant, but in many cases you just don't have the backing of enough people.
So that's really the secret to the secret. Is you
absolutely
create now. Our next show that we have here on Wolf Spirit Radio is the Earth Mind Think Tank, and that's using this very technique for healing and for healing large groups, using the morphological field that. That exists on the planet and all the different group minds that interact, and using them as networks to send healing out onto. So it's a lovely show, and we're gonna be sending our original guest Kat-Kem Merkel, who will be on a future show, and we'll be sending her some healing in the next couple of hours. So, thank you very much for coming on the show, Robert, and it's been a pleasure to discuss your work with you, and maybe you come back on Ever Beyond.
I'd be happy to. Thank you for having me here. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. This is Ever Beyond. Beyond.